It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the New York State Department of Health, my friends. I'm Dr. Jim McDonald, the Commissioner of the New York State Department of Health. It's good to have you here so we can just, I want to share a few remarks. I just want to answer questions. You know, and I think maybe the first question here is, I'm here to talk about the Rosa Copeland Living Center on the Weinberg campus. And I think the first question is, why am I in Buffalo today? And so just to be first and foremost, my main concern is the health and safety of the residents at Rosa Copeland. And I came here today to assess the situation at two assisted living facilities, which is Doesburg Manor, Garden House, and then that Rosa Copeland Nursing Home. I'm also here to make it clear that this administration agrees on the importance of preserving nursing home beds at Rosa Copeland in the long term. We're committed to working as quickly as possible with any qualified applicant who steps forward to help preserve that facility. But let me be clear. By the state stepping in when we did and accepting the closure plan, we created an orderly and safe transfer of patients. What we avoided as the State Department of Health was an emergency evacuation of these residents. This morning, as I personally toured the campuses, Weinberg, Doesburg, and Garden House, I talked to residents, I talked to staff, talked to leadership, met a lot of beautiful people, a lot of dedicated staff. I met some very concerned leaders. So later today, just so you know, I'm going to be meeting with local elected officials, going to update them on what we know. Also want to be clear, Governor Hochul, and my number one priority is to protect the health and safety of these residents of Rosa Copeland. It's why we stepped in. I think it's important to understand that we stepped in because we had to. I'm deeply concerned about the lack of sound financial management at Rosa Copeland. There's some rudimentary things one expects when you're running a healthcare facility's finances. These were lacking. I cannot emphasize enough, we at the Department of Health are continuing to prioritize the safety of the residents through this closure process, including the orderly transfer of residents. Right now, we're down to 39 residents who are there. Rosa Copeland's done a very good job of creating an orderly and safe transfer for these residents. You know, keep in mind, this is all roughly 2 weeks ago when they were at a census of over 130, and they're now down to 39. And they've moved these residents to safe, competently run facilities. One of the things I would say, I think there's been a great deal of confusion in the community about what's going on with Rosa Copeland. It's understandable. Residents, workers, and other stakeholders care deeply about this nursing home, and I recognize that it's an important part of Buffalo. However, to advance the conversation regarding the future of Rosa Copeland, I think it's important to address any confusion and facts. So I'm here to set the record straight and answer your questions. The Rosa Copeland operator, Weinberg, advised us earlier last month that they were unable to make payroll due to severe financial problems. These financial problems have occurred after the State Department of Health has already provided twice now over $5 million in financial relief to Rosa Copeland over the past 2 years. This is through the Vital Access Provider Assurance Program, also known as VAPAP. Most people aren't familiar with VAPAP, but the Vital Access Provider Assurance Program, it's meant for severe financially distressed nursing homes. It's meant to be a one-time infusion of money to help a nursing home turn around. It's unusual for us to fund a nursing home more than once. We funded Rosa Copeland twice to just under $5 million. That funding helped save Rosa Copeland from potential closure twice now and allowed its operator to develop a plan for long-term financial stability. Since that time, it's extremely clear Weinberg did not develop a plan for long-term financial stability, which has brought us to where we are today. After Weinberg recently advised that they were unable to make payroll, the board president and the majority of board members resigned. Let me just say that again. During their darkest hour, the board president and the majority of the board members resigned. The department subsequently approved Weinberg's plan to close Rosa Copeland. Again, this was to avoid an emergency transfer of these beautiful people at Rosa Copeland, who quite frankly deserve a whole lot better. Some of the things that we were faced with, I'm going to go back to October 17th for you, 15 days ago. There was a lien placed on their bank accounts. Their accounts were frozen because of a judgment against them, one of three judgments against them this summer. So what we were faced with was the possibility that the residents might not have heat. Winter's coming. I think in Buffalo you know a little bit about winter. You need heat. There's a possibility of no food. Other supplies that are critical. This is simply an unacceptable risk to these elderly, vulnerable residents of Rosa Copeland. And by the way, these are beautiful people I met. This is why we began an orderly transfer of Rosa Copeland residents to nearby facilities that could provide them with the support and care they needed. To be clear, our team is ensuring residents and their families receive correct information regarding any transfer. We ensure that any transfer is done safely. And yes, New York State Department of Health staff have been there every single day for the last 2.5 weeks. We have been on site monitoring daily what is going on to make sure the residents are taken care of and are safe. And I'm very grateful to my staff for the work they're doing to protect these beautiful people. So I came here today on behalf of Governor Hochul to reassure residents and their families and the Buffalo community of our commitment, my commitment, the department's commitment, and the governor's commitment to safeguarding their health and safety. So let's talk about where we are now. Now, the State Department of Health is prepared to work quickly with any qualified applicant who steps forward regarding the long-term preservation of Rosa Copeland Living Center. A change in the operator of a nursing home, which might include a receiver, requires a formal application, including financial disclosures and a three-party agreement. The state cannot unilaterally decide to place this facility in receivership. I think it's really important to note that to date, the state has not received a formal application for either receivership or change of ownership for Rosa Copeland. Nursing homes are stringently regulated by the Department of Health because senior citizens are some of the most vulnerable people in our community. It would be irresponsible and dangerous for the department to hastily approve any new owner without conducting due diligence and ensuring that any new owner is able to keep the residents safe. I think we all agree on the importance of working to preserve Rosa Copeland in the long term, and to do so, we must follow the appropriate process. The state has previously briefed local elected officials on this, and we'll provide another briefing this afternoon to them. I just want to say one thing about leadership and governance, though. I've been in healthcare 35 years. I've been in the Navy. I know a thing or two about leadership. Healthcare enterprises, whether it's a nursing home, a hospital, any group practice, they generally do well when they have strong leadership and strong governance. It is absolutely critical to have strong leadership and strong governance. Rosa Copeland deserves far better than what it has received. We are all in this very difficult situation. We are committed to finding a new operator if one comes forward. I've had very good conversations with the nursing home administrator today. This is a guy who just showed up in August, and he's trying his best to work with the situation for what it is. You know, I am concerned, though, about the financial mismanagement and the lack of strong leadership and governance. I'm very concerned about the board president and board resigning when, quite frankly, they needed them the most. Having said that, We're committed to this process. If a qualified applicant comes forward, I understand there's interested parties. We're happy to go through the process. This is not something that will be done quickly, but it will be done expeditiously. It's a priority for me. It's a priority for the governor. It's a priority for the department. But just to be clear to everybody, approving someone operating a nursing home is a deliberate, intentional, and thoughtful process. If you're running a nursing home, it requires expertise. It's complex. There's federal and state regulations that are there for a good reason to keep our residents safe. Having said that, I want to chat. What are your questions? I know you guys have been dealing with this quite a bit. Let me have Monica come forward. If you don't mind, she'll call on you one at a time, and I'll answer whatever questions you have.
Thank you. So we're going to do this very orderly, one at a time, and then you'll get 5 minutes privately with the commissioner, if that's good with you. Let's start over here. Eileen?
Commissioner, thank you. Did you meet with Lineage at all to discuss the possibility of your application, if they are interested in this?
I did meet with Chris from Lineage. My staff did as well. You know, they operate a couple nursing homes, and they're providing some back-end functions here. I don't think we should assume they're going to be the ones who take over, though. You know, I think this is one thing that's really important is what we're looking for is someone who actually owns and operates nursing homes. That's what we're looking for, is someone who owns and operates a nursing home and one that does it well. By the way, Weinberg's, the Rosa Copeland, I don't know if you guys have been there. It's a nice building. It's spacious. People have lovely rooms. I met them. These are lovely people. But quite frankly, it's definitely a nursing home that we're committed to saving in the long run. But we need to find a worthy applicant and a worthy operator. The people of Rosa Copeland deserve that.
Tracy?
So I have two questions. One follow-up to Eileen's. You say someone that owns and operates. Nonprofits are set up in a very different way. Would that qualify for a nonprofit to be that person? And my second question is, that campus has had financial difficulties for over a decade. Is that not something the state should have flagged?
So yes, a nonprofit would be welcome. And yes, the state's been working as best we can with their financial concerns. You know, when I talked about the Vital Access Provider Assurance Program, keep in mind, we stepped in twice to prevent closure. That goes through a rigorous process. They've had financial problems for a decade. What concerns me with what happened most recently, though, is just the lack of rudimentary financial tools. I think you would agree with me, if you're running a nursing home, you need a budget.
Is there no budget in place?
No. And this is from what they're telling me. And I think it's just important to understand, like, they've had three judgments that are recorded in Erie County Supreme Court this summer alone. One to a staffing agency, another to a pharmacy, another to another staffing agency. These are judgments. One of them resulted in their bank accounts being frozen. This shouldn't happen. This doesn't need to happen.
Do you have a question, Joe?
Yeah. I guess as part of like what Lania just talked about is in their receivership application, which we obviously don't have yet, they want state funding up to $14.7 million. Is there any precedent that the state would provide that amount of money for something like this?
So let me just chat a little bit about this. So what's very common is change of ownership. In other words, a new operator steps in. That's common. Receivership in and of itself is unusual. What should have happened was months ago, their leadership should have inquired about receivership at that point. That's what should have happened. It is uncommon. I can't think of a time when the state has brought money to take over a facility. Keep in mind, when we did the Vital Access Provider Assurance Program funding, we didn't just once, which we only usually do this once, we did it twice. What we're doing at that point is helping you turn around. What's happened at Rosa Copeland is not only did they not turn around, but they're in a far worse situation than where they started. And one of the things we're doing is we're still looking at the financials. As we discover more information, we're discovering new problems every week. This is very concerning. Now, you asked specifically if the state would bring money to the table. Let me have a qualified applicant first. I don't mean to get ahead of you, my friend, but like, let me see if I have a qualified applicant. By the way, most qualified applicants have funding, and they have equity, and they're willing to come forward. And, you know, the Rosa Copeland facility, that whole Weinberg campus, this is lovely, you know? I mean, when I walked in Dossburg and Garden House, this is a nice place. Natural light. Both these assisted livings are spacious. Residents were happy. Some of them were bowling. It was a beautiful thing to see. Others were singing. You know, I think this is an attractive place for someone to take over. And quite frankly, I think that's why there's interested parties. We'll see if they can come together with a qualified application.
Great. You said there's 39 residents still living there. Is the plan still going forward that the residents will eventually be moved out of that facility until there is someone that will either own or have that receivership, and then any resident who wants to move back would be able to move back then? Is that the plan?
So here's what happened. They submitted a closure plan. We accepted it. This wasn't the Department of Health forcing a closure. This was them giving us a closure plan. They met all the criteria. Their board had resigned. Their board president resigned. We wanted to avoid an emergency evacuation. I just think that really needs to be clear here. We stepped in because we didn't want people to be harmed. You're asking a different question, which is, are people going to move back? That's up to the residents. But if we get a qualified operator, which is going to take time, you know, one of the things I want to make sure it's really clear is there's no way to rapidly approve and do the due diligence we need to do. Running a nursing home is complicated. You need expertise. We need to see all the financials. We have to do our due diligence. But once it's reopened, but right now the plan is for it to close. That is the plan. You know, and quite frankly, the team there, you know, I got to compliment the team that is there. They've done a very good job of safely and orderly moving these residents to a competent facility. That's what they should do, and that's what they want to do. Because I tell you one thing, it's all about the staff. They love their residents. That's a beautiful thing. My mom's in a nursing home, too, and that's what she gets, and that's what everyone deserves. You deserve the staff loving your residents, because, by the way, it's a nursing home. It is someone's home. But if at some point when it gets reopened, if residents want to move back, my guess is whoever takes over would welcome them back with open arms. And I could see why the residents would want to move back, by the way. Like, these are spacious rooms. It's a lovely place. Like, I can see why people would want to be there. You know, as nursing homes go, it's nice. By the way, this used to be a premier nursing home in Western New York. And it's very sad what's happened here. But we're committed to helping a new applicant come forward. We're committed to helping a new applicant get through the process. It's a priority of mine, but it needs to be done deliberately, thoughtfully, and safely.
Jeff?
You've said it numerous times now. It seems like you're putting a lot of blame on the former board, the former president of Weinberg campus, and really how they ran things, from the financials to, as you said, resigning in their darkest hour. Are you seeing any evidence potentially of neglect or anything that could come back in terms of criminal responsibility or civil liabilities to anyone who previously was in charge there or currently in charge there? And is the New York State Department of Health potentially putting Weinberg campus under investigation for any alleged health violations or how they ran things there?
You have a lot in that question, don't you? Let me try to be concise. I can't talk about active complaints, although there are some. Are there active investigations? Yes. Have we had a conversation with the Attorney General's office? We have. I think if you need to ask questions of the Attorney General's office, you should follow up with them at the Charities Bureau and see where they plan on going with this, if anywhere at all. I can't speak for the Attorney General. And I think you asked the question, am I putting blame on the Weinberg leadership? I don't want to be ambiguous about that. Yes. I am putting blame on the Weinberg leadership. When you're a board president and board members, you absolutely have a duty to protect the residents that you're entrusted to take care of. I have deep concerns about what I've seen. And quite frankly, when you look at the financial mismanagement, the judgments I'm talking about, the three judgments in the Erie County Supreme Court, they're publicly available. Anybody can look at those. One for $400,000, one for $800,000, one for $13,000. You know, it's one thing to not pay your bills, but to have a judgment against you, that is hard. And that means you weren't really working with vendors. Because one of the things about most vendors is when you have financial challenges, most vendors will work with you. But I think therein lies, we have to assign blame where it is. And that's my concern right now. But I want to make it really clear. I would love to see Rosa Copeland reopen someday with a competent owner, someone who will provide the level of care and attention, quite frankly, that people of this good area deserve. They really do deserve better than what they've been getting.
Do you have any suspicion, or is there any evidence to this point that points you in the direction in which the funds were misused in a way criminally, and perhaps maybe funds used more so for personal use than for the use for those funds in which they were intended for, which is to keep the nursing home open?
I appreciate you asking the same question twice, I really do. But I can't go any further than where I went with that. We're investigating the quality of care concerns. I think your question's better framed toward the Attorney General. I want to just answer whatever I can answer for you, but that one I can't do any more than what I did for you on.
Chelsea?
What's your response to families that have loved ones at Weinberg and are concerned about the future at this time?
Yeah, I met with some families. I met with two beautiful daughters who talked about their mom. Brought me in her room, showed me her room. I mean, this is a lovely woman. She's got dementia, but she's getting great care. But you know, this is a tough season for these folks. And right now, I think what I'm saying to the families is, this occurred through no fault of your own. It's certainly not the residents or the family's fault. What we're seeing right now, though, is families are being moved to nursing homes where they can be treated safely and competently. And I am grateful that the Rosa Copeland leadership team that's there right now, you know, I want to thank Peter in particular for the way he's helped almost 100 residents find new homes. This is tough for them, though. This is very tough. One of the things I want to make sure people understand, though, is that we avoided an emergency transfer of these residents. You know, it was one of those things where we do know how to organize an emergency transfer. You know, if there was a fire, a natural disaster, we've done emergency transfers of residents before, but it's something we don't ever want to do. And, you know, it creates challenges and trauma for the residents. This is the safest way to do it right now, is to have an orderly and safe transition for these residents. And as difficult as that is, the Rosa Copeland staff is doing a great job at saying goodbye to their friends and helping them find new homes.
Mark, did you have a question?
Yeah, I guess sort of piggybacking on what Jeff said, if there was a mismanagement of funds, so you gave them the $5 million the first time because they needed it, so shame on them. And then you give it to them again a second time, sort of maybe a shame on you for doing that. What made the state give them the money the second time if they couldn't handle it the first time?
So we gave up to $5 million, but over two times, so roughly $2.5 million each time. So keep in mind, we're trying to avoid closure in the last 2 years. And so we did do a rigorous application. The Vital Access Provider Assurance Program, there's a rigorous application. What we're trying to do is avoid closure. They created a transition plan. They were offering a plan where they could actually move forward. So we invested in them. It didn't work out. We recognize there's challenges, we do, but new conditions arose. And we invested in them again. It's unusual, but we were committed to them again. What we're trying to do is avoid closure. What we're trying to do is avoid what's happening right now. I think you can see how difficult a closure of a nursing home is, how it affects everybody in the community. It affects not just the residents, but it affects the staff that work there. And it affects, quite frankly, so many people in the community. So it's something we really try deeply, deeply to avoid.
Okay, we're gonna start and go around, get everybody another question. So John, do you wanna start?
I guess just, you know, obviously I think in my history of the Department of Health, it's kind of uncommon that, you know, they'll, you know, come out saying statements or like you are today that they're, you know, frustrated or, you know, talk about fiscal mismanagement. So, I mean, is this one of the more frustrating circumstances you've come across in your time? I mean, I can, you know, we can all tell you're obviously visibly frustrated with this situation.
I'm sad. I'm very sad for what's happened here, because these beautiful people deserved better. So, am I frustrated? I'm more sad. We were put in a position at the as the Department of Health to step in so we didn't have to emergency evacuate these individuals. And that's where we were. And so I'm deeply concerned about what I've seen. I don't know how else to keep saying it, my friends. I'm deeply concerned.
Tracy?
What about the assisted living facilities and the other nonprofit corporations on that campus that rely on the same vendors and the same overall board of directors that is no longer in place? What happens to them?
Well, this is where if a new operator comes in, they can take those over. You know, right now, they have some of the same challenges, but one of the things I saw at Dossburg and at Garden House, they've worked around those challenges right now. And some of the things they've done are common sense things, quite frankly, is their own leadership teams inside these two assisted living places, talking to vendors, being honest with things. One of the other things I've seen, though, which I think is just a testimony to some of the leadership in Dossburg and in Garden House, is leaders doing projects themselves, painting a floor, buying things for the residents. These are good people doing good things, these leaders. And that's what I'm seeing here. But right now they're working around those challenges. But I think this is one of those things that we're looking at very closely as Department of Health. And this is why if we see an applicant come forward, we want to see a detailed and thoughtful plan of how to not just protect Rosa Copeland, but the rest of the Weinberg campus.
Eileen? Who's helping the employees? They've lost their health care benefits. Their pensions have been installed. They're really in trouble, too.
They are. It's sad. They don't have health insurance right now. 1199 has stepped in. They had a job fair 2 days ago. A lot of those employees have jobs waiting for them when this happens at other 1199 facilities. But that's who's helping the employees right now is the union. And, you know, I think that's really important to understand. These people who work here, they deserved better than this. They really do.
Mark, you have a follow-up?
I guess on a more broader scale, how does this, I know you're working with the State Office for the Aging, developing a master plan for aging. How does this all fit in? Is this sort of to better the life of the older adult, or how would you characterize how this fits in with that plan?
So really, the master plan for aging is a very complex, comprehensive master plan, but making sure we have long-term care facilities that are viable and sustainable is really important to me and to the Department of Health and to the state, of course. But you're asking how it fits in is we want nursing homes that are competent. You know, one of the things that I think is really important is as a Department of Health, we're the regulator of nursing homes. We investigate complaints. Our job is to protect the health and well-being of nursing home residents, and that we do. And we do quite a bit of it. We do a lot of investigations of nursing home complaints. We take them very seriously. You know, last year, we did 48,000 complaint investigations. We're on par to do a little bit more this year statewide. That's a lot of complaint investigations. But what I'm saying is that we are hoping to have long-term sustainable nursing homes that provide safe, competent, reliable care.
Jeff?
So of the 39 residents who were there currently, I believe it's our understanding that the nursing home is slated to close by the end of this month. Do you foresee that the residents are going to be transferred by that time? Is there any chance potentially that it could go longer than that, or that some of the residents aren't able to find suitable alternatives? And if that were to be the case, what would happen to that November 30th date? Could it be amended?
Yeah, so it's really important that people get a safe transition of care. So, you know, obviously we work with the nursing home to accomplish that, but let's keep in mind here, we approved the closure plan on the 18th, the 21st, you know, was the Monday, the 24th when they announced it to their staff. So they only started transferring residents on the 25th. They've transferred almost 100 residents in a very short period of time. It's their closure plan. We're obviously going to be flexible if we need to be, but they're doing well right now at transferring residents, so we'll see what happens here. But obviously, we don't want people stuck somewhere, so we're going to work with people as best we can.
And if I could just follow up, you had mentioned about two other nursing homes that you visited, to Dossenburg and Garden House. Could you talk about, elaborate a little bit more on why you went there and what did you find there?
So let me just make a slight correction to what you just said there real quick. So Dosburg or Dosburg and Garden House are assisted living facilities. So they're not nursing homes. Assisted living facilities, we regulate as well, but they're not nursing homes. The people who are in assisted living don't need as much care as people who are in a nursing home. So I just want to make that distinction. Here's what I saw at Dosburg and what I saw at Garden House. You know, I talked to staff, I talked to residents, and what I found was there was a lot of uncertainty about their future. You know, one of the reasons why I say we're committed to finding a qualified applicant to take over as a change of operator is to make sure that these places are preserved and hopefully Rosa Copeland will be reopened. So, but you know, they have a leadership team at these places and you know, they're obviously dedicated to their team. Nick, who runs Dosburg, he cares about his people very deeply. I saw that. You know, former Navy guy, and I saw the honor, courage, and commitment I know from the Navy so well, and this man, I really respect him and what he's doing for his people. Justin, who runs Garden House, he admitted he didn't really know what was going on, and I think that's an example of not communicating with your team what is going on. But Justin's a guy who really cares very deeply about his residents and his staff, and I saw that, you know, and there's certain things that when you see that, you have to admire that, you know. But they're both committed to staying there until they see a solution that works for everybody. But right now, Dosburg and Garden House, we don't have a closure plan on those. There's no talk of closing them just yet.
Chelsea?
So you're seeing hundreds of people impacted by this, losing their jobs, being moved. It's not just like we're moving cattle. Why doesn't the state step in with more emergency, you know, support, with more oversight? Is this sort of the only option? Would there be a way to keep it open with, you know, more support, perhaps with oversight?
Well, the leadership team is gone. Let's start there, right? The board president, the board resigned. Let's start there. There is no leadership team. The people who are hanging on are doing the best they can, but there's just really big challenges with leadership right here. It's not that we can just step in and buy the problem and provide oversight here. It's well beyond that. And this speaks to some of the chronic history of the financial concerns, but it's just not that simple. And gosh, if it was, it just isn't that simple, my friend.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.